yet.
Blog Talk Radio. Gentlemen, this is Tanya Maria, your host of ColoredPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network. You are tuning in to our Blog Talk Radio show where we feature our members, and this afternoon we are blessed to have the Chicago native, e-bassman, Ethan Farmer, with a professional and impressive professional career that has afforded him the opportunity to work with influential lists of musical greats such as Janet Jackson, Darius Rucker, and recently, he has completed a tour with Backstreet Boys and the New Kids on the Block, as well as a European tour with none other than Lionel Richie and his Tuskegee project. Ethan is joining us this afternoon to talk about his life, his career, and, of course, his latest release, his full-length album, Wine and Strings, which is set to be released this February 2013. We are honored to have Ethan with us, and without further ado, I present to you e-bassman Ethan Farmer.
Oh, welcome. I love the introduction.
Oh, thank you. Well, that blessed me already, and I'm loving it already. Thank you so much. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. I want to, first of all, thank Miles High Productions for allowing us to have you with us this afternoon, and also, of course, you for taking time out of your Sunday. We are so thankful for that. Thank you so much for your time, and we're so blessed to have you with us.
Oh, I thank you guys. Thank you guys for letting me be a part of it today.
Wonderful. Well, how was your day today?
Today was very well. I mean, it's still going. I, you know, went to church this morning, had a wonderful show last night, which was a long day, but, you know, it's going, and it's going to continue to go well. I'm always positive. I always keep it in a light, you know, so can't none stop me. Even though we got rain out here in this California weather right now, but I still like it.
You mean sunny California actually rains?
It actually rains. Yes, it does. And I'm a part of it right now.
Well, you know, when I introduce our guests to our listeners, I always like to know their background as far as what brought them to who they are today. And I always like to know the person behind, you know, all the photos and all the accomplishments. And some people say, you know, oh, he's so lucky. But you and I know that there is so much hard work that goes behind everything that we do. And to reach the level of success that we have takes great effort. So we want to know about that. You have so much music in you, and it's only natural that you are creating your own voice and musical identity. You know, your love for the greats, you know, I've listened to some of your interviews, and you talk about Earth, Wind, and Fire and all the wonderful great musicians and great bands that we love today. And you're part of the new, and, you know, also an accomplished producer behind the scenes, but first I want to ask you, aside from the bass and drums and keyboard, what other instrument do you play?
I play guitar too, lead guitar.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you have no formal training with BASE, which is pretty awesome. So you were born to do this, and no better blessing to live out your purpose in life, at least one of the purposes you have in your life.
Yes, yes.
And my first question to you is, with so many greats passing away, and most recently Leroy Sugarfoot from Ohio Players, and aside from your family, who were or are the individuals or groups that were an inspiration for you growing up?
Well, the funny thing is, it's really still stems from my family. Still to this day, I still do it for my family, you know. You know, it's when you raise a certain way and it's stuck with you for so long and it comes apart in you. And family is so important to me. You know, that's basically what I live for myself and my family today. So they still are the biggest and going to always be the biggest influence. So many artists come and go. So, you know, it's like with everybody else. It's going to be something you like here, something you like there. So it's a lot of music out there that influenced me still. It's artists that came and artists that are gone, you know, and it's still something that's still here today. But there's a lot of people that I grew up with listening to and the quartet music, you know, such as people who used to perform with us, with my family group, like a bass player named Larry Skinner. It's people who the world wouldn't even know of today. They regular people who live normal lives in Chicago, you know, that was like a really big influence to me. And I still talk to them today, and they can't even believe that they influenced me so much because they look at as, you know, achieving so much and, you know, they wasn't able to fulfill their dream as a musician. And so they kind of live vicariously through me.
Mm. What a blessing.
So it's such a blessing. It's a blessing. And it's people like that that make you realize it's such a blessing because, you know, you live in day by day in this growth, but sometimes you really don't see the growth because you're working so hard and trying to get to the next level and the next level because my goals are set so high.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't see it because I'm in it. And to, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, I wanted to do this, or you know how much I would love to do this, or I don't get a chance to do that. And you get the chance to do it and play music and do what we love, and you'd be like, man, I'm really thankful for what God put me at.
That's wonderful that you acknowledge that, because we cannot do it ourselves.
No. Not at all.
Now, you started playing at the tender age of 5, and I'm not sure if you were playing before that, but and you received a bass from your father at the age of 6, and at the age of 8, you became the youngest member of the family group that you mentioned, the Amazing Farmer Singers. Tell me, what did you learn from this first musical experience with your family that you carry with you today?
The first experience that I learned back then, or as I learned as I got older and looked back at it?
Both. But the question was actually back then, that of course,
okay.
At the age
of 8, then,
there's a lot to learn, like discipline and, you know, making sure you get your work done, practice and so on. I'm sure your father got on your case.
Oh, yes, they did. What I learned back then was always obey your parents. Because if I didn't obey them, I wouldn't be where I'd be at today. I could have been one of those hard-headed kids and didn't obey and was still wrong and was a rebel and did all that and then just didn't want to play the guitar and just didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But because I did obey it, you know, obey what they told me to do, I'm here right now. So, you know, sometimes you might not want to agree with your kid, I mean, with your parents when you're back then, but most of the time, you know, they doing it for the right reason, and you know, don't never know what God instilled in them to put in you. You know, God works in, you know, mysterious ways, and you don't never know who He's using to bring out the best what He got in store for you. So I was glad I did listen to Him and follow through with them. So that was one of the biggest things. And I'm going to do the same thing with my kid, you know, and hope they listen to me like I listen to my parents.
Mm-hmm. That is so wonderful you say that for the young generation that is looking up to you, you know, the aspiring musicians and and it's so beautiful that you do feel like you have an accountability. That's
which
wonderful.
Is a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure and it's a hard work, but that's the only reason God still has me around right now, because I have a responsibility, not just for myself and my family, but for other people who need inspiration and need motivation and don't know how to get to a place or how to deal with certain situations. So I always make myself available to talk to people and give them my testimony.
That's wonderful. Well, okay. Well, I want to play something for our listeners. But before I do, I want to thank all of those in chat right now. We have Anthony and Lady 16, all of you listening through our podcasts throughout the internet. And don't forget that we are on iTunes, so you can always listen to this show. It's there for posterity forever and ever. And so let's, you know, I want to play Beautiful, because what you've just shared right now is a blessing, and it's beautiful, and I love Beautiful. So
That is nice. You said everything goes so nice. You beautiful yourself. That is beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everything is going right into the segue, right into the sun. So beautiful.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ethan Farmer with Beautiful.
By the age of 17, Ethan Farmer was already an impressive talent and began playing with choir groups, including Walt Whitman and the Soul Children of Chicago, Mark Hubbard and the Voices, Ricky Dillard and the Chicago Mass Choir. And from there, he traveled to music festivals around the world, including the North Sea Jazz Festival, Montreux Jazz Festival, Montreal Jazz Festival, and the Jakarta Jazz Festival. Mr. Farmer.
Yes.
You are a well-traveled man.
I am. Internationally known.
Yes, sir. That's right. Now, back on this musical journey with you in your life, your first break was with Jody Watley, is that correct?
Yeah, that was my first break in California. When I moved out to California, that was my first big break.
Okay, tell us about that. How did that go?
Well, I moved out to California and moved out here, no family out this way, staying with a friend, sleeping on the floor, trying to make it in the music business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go to all the jam sessions, you go to all the churches, you go where any musicians or producers anywhere, and you try and sit in or you, you know, try and network, pass out 3,000 business cards. Nobody called me for like 6-7 months still. You know, and it was this one particular gym I used to go to that one of my great friends now and mentor, he's been a very big inspiration to me, Andrew Goucher, which played on a lot of records and everything. He used to do a gym, and he you know, always used to tell me, come up, man, come up and play, man. Like, I'm going to help you on out. He took me up under his wings, and they actually called him to do Jody Watley. And he couldn't do it because he was so busy. So he said, no, you got to call this new young kid that just moved in town. Trust me, you'll be good. And they called me, and we were doing the TV show, the BET Planet Groove at the time. And so since I was doing it, it was with all the hot cats in L.A., so everybody was watching, all the musicians watching, because they were they peers and they comrades. You know, they was watching their friends on TV, and they were like, who is this new young kid on bass? And it was the same person they met 6-7 months ago that I gave my business card to. But they forgot about me. That's how funny the business is.
Mm-hmm.
So after they seen me playing with them, I guess it stamped me as a qualified cat for them. And then everybody started calling. And it just started snowballing from there.
That's awesome. You know, you're the third person that I interview that has a similar story where the original person that was meant to play could not make it for whatever reason. And they, you know, stepped in, such as yourself. So I believe in appointed time. I believe in predestination and divine intervention.
Right.
So that's definitely one of them. So that's awesome. Excuse me. I was listening to, not listening, but I was reading the Soul Train interview that you did, and you mentioned that you want to connect R&B and jazz, hip-hop and jazz, pop and jazz, and make it one big community, that it's all good music. Tell us about your vision and what you know, what does that mean to you, that statement?
Well, since, you know, I play so many different kinds of genres of music, and I love all different styles of genres, all different styles of music, you know, why not do it? What will hold me back from doing it? I mean, I have so much music in my head, so I'm playing with all these different artists and having these experiences with them. Why not express the experience that I have through my music?
Mm-hmm.
Why categorize it? Like, I'm just being me. When I play my music, I'm just playing me. I'm not trying to sound like nobody else. I'm not trying to do the style of any of the instrumental artists. I'm not trying to do what anybody else do. And that's the best way to have your own identity. It's just to do you.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to say, oh, you know, he's trying to be like that, or he's trying to do him, or, no, you got to do records like this in order to get played here or this. No, if I'm going to be a trendsetter and I'm going to be, you know, a role model, then the best way to do it is just to be you. And let
That's
people
right.
know that it's okay to do you. And you don't have to follow behind nobody else. You can do yourself and also be successful. And at the end of the day, that's when you're going to be the happiest, because you got to live with yourself at the end of the day, and you got to, you know, speak for yourself 5 and 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't blame nothing else on nobody else but yourself if it don't work.
That's true. I, you know, in line with our conversation about faith and divine appointment, and obviously I see that you are a person of faith, I was watching your video for the watch video.
Yes.
And what it reminded me of were the scriptures. The scripture that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and that the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Is that the intent of that video? Was that supposed to be some type of spiritual warfare on that video? Did I understand that correctly?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can use it to how you want to use it as far as that, because it is how good defeats evil. You know, and it, whatever you battle in, how you can overcome anything if you just press through and fight you and go with what you believe in. You know, it's a positive message. So however you need to use it to whatever your situation is, just know that you can always overcome anything that you're going through if you just fight and fight for it. It might be hard, and it can be discouraging sometimes, but if you just press through, then that victory is going to be there at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm glad you got it. that makes me feel good. That really do makes me feel good, because you hope people see what it is and just don't think it's just a fight thing in it. You know, I don't know where it's the purpose to everything, and it makes me feel good that you did it.
Yes, and it blessed me, you know. So we were going to listen to that, to watch, and then we'll talk about your records and your projects. And for those of you listening, if you want to call in and say hello to Ethan, the number is 949-209-2956. You have to press the number 1 so I know that you want to speak. The number again is 949-209-2956. And we are with the acclaimed Ethan Farmer, the E-Bassman.
E-Bassman.
That's right. So we're going to listen to Watch, and we'll be right back.
No carrot. No carrot.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tanya Maria, the host of Blog Talk Radio, ColoredPeople.net, Multicultural Artistic Network. And with us, we have Ethan Farmer, the E-Bass Man. How did that name come about?
My uncle gave me this name years ago. It was just like a little nickname he used to call me instead of calling me. You know how your little nephews and people in your family got little nicknames and stuff like that. And he just used to call me little E-Bass Man at the time. And I just took the little off and just kept the E-Bass Man.
I like that. All right. Tell us about your tour with Lionel Richie. How long was that, and how was that experience?
We was out in Europe and the UK for 3.5 months.
Mm.
And it was one of the greatest experience I ever had. For the simple fact, it was, well, first of all, I didn't even realize, I knew it was Lionel Richie, but you know how you know two songs maybe, but just know they legends. I didn't realize how many hits he actually had.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
And, oh my God. And once I finally got all the songs they wanted me, I'm like, wow, he wrote this. Oh my God. This song is beautiful. Oh, this, oh, I love it. And I became a fan, and I'm like, wow. And I usually don't become a fan of artists that I work with, but I was like, every night at the show, I found myself listening to him or singing the melody after the show on a tour bus, traveling, like, why am I still singing this melody? And the rest of the band be like, no, would you shut up singing this song? Just don't stay playing it. We don't want to hear it again right now. And I'm like, now I'm sorry, I don't know why it's sticking in my head. You know. But the rest of the guys been with him for like 10, 12 years, so I was a new guy.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, since it's new to me and I'm becoming like, you know, new to a situation and a fan. So it was just like, he's a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just became such a fan of what he do. So that was a big experience. And learning how he write and him telling us the stories of how he did such and such or how he wrote a song. And it's just like, wow, this is great.
Yes, he is phenomenal. I love Lionel Richie.
He is phenomenal.
And
oh, my God, he's phenomenal.
And that brings me to something you said. You were asked on one interview about playing technique versus playing feeling, you know, because Lionel Richie, to me, it's like there's so much feeling and there's so much,
yeah,
it's so powerful, his music to
yeah.
me. Tell me about your playing, you know, how is your approach between the technique versus the feeling?
I'm an emotional player. That's everything I do is emotional. When you get past all the technique or, you know, however you usually do it, you know, it's all about the heart for me. I think when you play from the heart and how you really feel when you actually study people's music and then you just approach it from your feeling,
mm-hmm.
that's more of you. And it's more your identity, and that's your personality on the bass. And that's why you also get your personality on your instrument. And then that's when it comes to audition or people hiring you, they hire you for what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of, you know, they want you to play it like this or play it like somebody else. They're going to actually hire you to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you establish yourself as your own voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the way you last longer in the business, because it's like, if they want you, they're gonna get you. You know what I mean? They're going to request for you. They say, I need this sound, or I need this on this record. And that's Ethan playing bass. So let's get Ethan in here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it fun when you go out on stage and play this stuff, or you go in the studio. It makes it so much easier because you're not trying to copy anybody else. Oh, you don't have to study what anybody else did prior to you. You just go out there, you study the music, and you just make it yours.
Mm-hmm.
So, which makes it fun to go on stage and play some stuff that you enjoy playing it, because you plan it and you bring in your own voice. Like, we have a conversation with you now. We just do it on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Musically, you know.
Now, you know, something came to mind. You mentioned about being yourself. Now, when you're given music, when you're playing with these various bands and you're playing original music, like from Lionel's music, for example, do you have the freedom to deviate a little bit from the way the song may have been written as far as the bass is concerned? Because I don't play music and I don't understand music.
Right.
But, so I'm asking you from a layperson's perspective as to how does this all work? Are you free to improvise, or do you have to kind of stick to
yes.
the way the song's supposed to sound?
Well, that comes with the experience of going, you know, and doing so many tours and dealing with so many different artists and dealing with timeless songs, you know, and being able to make the correct decision of when not to do it too much,
uh-huh.
but when you just need to stick true to this timeless song because it's just such a big hit. You don't need to do anything to it, but just play it like it is. And
right.
that's the most respect you could ever pay to one of those songs, you know what I mean? So it's,
mm-hmm.
that comes with the experience of learning each individual and learning, you know, the particular era of the tune.
Right.
And you study. But that only comes with experience. It's something you have to just go through a period of time, how each artist would like their song represented, or
mm-hmm.
if there's certain artists that want you to enhance the song, or if there's certain artists that just say, no, this song like this, you know, I like it straightforward. I like it just like this because the crowd, they came to hear this song.
Mm-hmm.
When you understand the artist and you study all that, then you know how to approach it when it comes to that. And it makes it easy for the artist to, you know, hire you because they say, okay, he knows what to do on this song. He knows what not to do on this song. They don't have to teach me or they don't have to sit in or they have to do extra long rehearsals. You know, so the musical director say, no, Ethan, that's not it. You got to play it like this then. You know, teach me anything. I come in there and I know what to do, so it makes everything move fast.
Right.
Like when I did the Lionel gig, I only had like 2 weeks rehearsal before we went out on tour.
My.
Yeah, and usually for a tour of that, you know, multitude is like, you usually rehearse a month and a half at least.
Right.
You know, and the rest of the band knew what I had to come in and know the whole show in 2 weeks. And then go out on tour, hit the stage. But that's one of the reasons they hired me. Because
exactly.
They know. Exactly.
I was about to
yes.
say that.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. You're a professional. You know your craft.
But and it's say professional because there's a lot of people out there that actually call themselves professionals, but can't deal with that kind of pressure, and can't deal with that magnitude of. The artist making changes at the last second without crashing and burning. And, you know, you got to understand, each night you plan in front of at least 18,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And if he comes up right before you hit the stage and say, okay, we're going to take the song out or take the bridge out of the song and we're going right on stage, you got to be at that right then and go out
mm-hmm.
there and perform it to the T. Otherwise, it's going to be a complete mess and the artist's going to look at you like,
mm-hmm.
I thought you were a professional.
That's pretty
well,
odd.
A lot of cat colleagues are professional, but cannot deal with that kind of judgment. You know, so a gig like the Lionel Richie's is like reaching the pros and being in a playoff.
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned songs and their particular eras and being aware of that era and the style of music. That brings me to, again, the when I was listening to this, when I was reading the Soul Train interview, it made me think of Don Cornelius, the era when disco came along and Soul Train had such a tough time trying to fit in with the new style, and then rap came along. So
right.
for you, on as a bass player, how did the progression work for you to adjust to the different styles of music, and in particular disco, that I understand doesn't allow too much
creativity. How does that work for you in your career?
As far as what?
As far as adjusting to the transition of the different styles, of the different music that was being introduced. Was it easy for you to just transition with it, or did you know?
Well, you know, with today's society and the way things are, it's just kind of gradually progressing to it, and you really don't even realize you're progressing into it until it just really hits big. You know, with the progression and the change of the music nowadays, you know, you could be listening to just like how they have. You had pop and you had dance music, you had electronic music, but it slowly all emerged together. Now you got pop songs that's dance music. And you really didn't know what was even happening at the time that it happened,
mm-hmm.
with the way it merged into it. So I've just been in that frame of mind because by me being and producing music and writing music and being in the industry so heavy, you get to really see the changes. So I naturally progress right with it without really seeing that big of a difference. We're just looking at it as a change and trying to take it to another level.
Okay.
So looking at it as separate, I didn't really see it as separate. We just looked at it as a change and just trying to take it to another level and just experimenting and seeing what the people like.
Okay.
And with the way they do radio and all that, you know, they make regular people, regular consumers, like whatever they want them to like, because as long as you keep feeding people that, they're going to eventually like it when that's all you keep feeding them, no matter if it's a hit or not. If you keep singing something and singing something, you can hate the song, but if you sing it in your ear 100 times, you're going to eventually sing the melody.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Even if it comes out, even if it comes out and you hate the song, you're going to still have that melody in your head.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Ethan Farmer with us, native of Chicago, accomplished bass player and also producer, plays the drums, keyboard, and electric guitar.
There you go. You didn't forget.
No, I did not. I had to dig in because electric guitar. Yeah. That's it. All right, I have a couple of folks on the phone lines with us. I thank you so much for dialing in. If you do want to ask a question, you need to press the number 1, so I know you want to be brought into the conversation. We're going to take a quick break, and we will come back with Ethan Farmer.
Hi, this is Janice B of Stinky Face Music, and you're tuned in to ColoredPeople.net on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my phone don't die.
Hi, I'm Harry Elston with the Friends of Distinction, and you are listening to ColoredPeople.net. with your host, Tanya Maria.
We are back with Ethan Farmer. Now, Ethan, I don't know if you realize, but you are officially a member of our network. And, you know, Harry Elston from Friends of Distinction is also a member of our network. Lamont McLemore, from the creator of The Fifth Dimension, is a member. And Susay Green, a member of the Supremes. So, you know, it's really an honor to have you as a guest with us today. And thank you. Well, let's see. Where do we go from here? You have two groups, The Core, a jazz fusion band reminiscent of the Yellow Jackets, which I love, and The Weather Report, which Alphonse Mouzon is also a member of our network.
Wow.
Yes, and the ED Band is your other group.
The ENG Band,
that's right. Now, the question I have for you is, Jaco Pastorius, you had mentioned not copying anybody else, which obviously you have your own style, but you also were influenced by many other bass players, I'm sure. So tell us about Jaco Pastores and what his craft means and meant to you.
Well, I mean, he changed the way you play bass for just a bass style, period. So when you have such a change in an instrument of the exact same style, like this style, period, how you even approach the bass, you can't help but to have it be influenced by that person. And he changed the bass. And every bass player in the world who plays bass, I have to know of them or listen to them, because that's all part of playing a bass. It's like essential. It's a basic study. You know, it's preschool. When you're going to preschool, you're going to learn. And grammar school, you got to learn now. Everything is basic study that you just have to take. And that he's part of that in the music world as far as a bass player. You just have to know who he is. You have to study it. Because eventually you're going to be playing some stuff that he did that you don't even know you played. So it's good to be just aware of where it started from, who created it.
That's right. And James Jamerson, tell me what he means to you.
He's another one. All the guys you named are the guys who changed bass playing. You know, and that's one of the things. That's why I said, if you just stick with your heart and do what you feel, then you establish your own personality. And people say I have my own style, which I feel I have my own style, because I just do what I feel. Of course, I listen to these guys. You can't help but to listen to them, because I'm a true musician and I actually study my art form. But I just, after you listen, of course, you're going to adjust. And you're going to, it's just like a kid. You take a sponge. You take it all in, and you still have your own personality. A kid don't know who they are when they're a kid. And you go through your teenage years, and then you go through, you know, you get into college, and you find yourself. And by the time you graduate, you pretty much have a clue of who you are. And as older you get, you find out who yourself really are. You know, you become more within yourself and in touch with yourself. And you can say, yo, this is who I am. So I just, you know, I live life. I live life in music, and I take it all in, but I still take it in and be me. You're not the same person you was 3 days ago because of your life experience, you know, and you experience things and you see things that, you know, that just happened with life, which changed you, and that's how it would happen with music.
Thank you.
my deepest apologies. I lost my Skype phone connection. So in the middle of your sentence, I
oh
lost
my God, yes,
my...
I thought I lost you. I was worried.
I'm here. I'm sorry. And so, you know, I had to do something. So I started playing music. So if I cut you off, I'm
hey,
so sorry.
And you played a great song. That was good. You had a perfect choice. E bass man, where I got off the wine and strings. I love it.
Well, thank you.
Perfect choice.
Thank you for hanging in there. I really appreciate it. It's one of these challenges, you know. You, just like you said, you got to think on your feet,
but it comes,
you know.
And you got to think. That only comes with experience. And you have experience, obviously. And a great choice of music selection.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we were talking about, what were we talking about? We were talking about James Jamerson and some of the bass greats and how you study them. And okay, is there anything else you'd like to add since you were rudely interrupted?
No, it's just, you know, all those guys are just essential for you to study because they learned and made bass what it is today.
Okay. I just want to add to go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So if anybody who studies any craft that they do, you know, you always want to find out the history of it and dig deep into it. There's no where it comes from and, you know, how it all evolved.
Amen. And what you just heard was called 12. And I'm curious, how do you name the songs that, you know, like 12? Why 12?
Most of it has something to do with what I was doing at the moment. I recorded this song. I started recording that song at 12 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So it was very simple, you know. I started recording it, and once I finished it, you know, I was kind of like, each song that I name these titles out of is going to have something to do with what I was doing at that moment.
Okay.
So that's why I named that 12. I started recording late. I always record late, and that was just one of them. I'm going to name this one 12 because I was really into it, and my vibe was right, and it was like it was still like 2 p.m. in the daytime for me, but it was 12 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I ain't finished until wee hours in the morning, but I just felt so good because of the music, and it was so just on a great high because it just felt so good. I was like, I'm naming that 12.
That's awesome. I was curious about that. Like, how does that work?
Yeah. I know because, you know, you see so many weird names sometimes, and I can never think of no weird name. Just think of some weird name. Like I just say, it's going to have something to do with what I was doing at that moment while I was recording the song.
That's good. I just wanted to, a little side note here. We talked about James Lee Jamerson, and let me tell you, Ethan, I had to do my homework because I know nothing about music.
All these hits that you're playing in between.
Well, of course, I know your music, but I'm talking about
right,
music
right,
as far as the,
right.
The craft, the art form, the...
Right.
You know, I don't play an instrument, and you
right.
know, and your craft that's new to me.
Right.
You know, so I had to learn about various bass players, and you know, read about your life and your career. So, and the reason I'm saying all that is because as I was doing that, I ran across the information about James Lee Jamerson, and I just want to mention to our listeners in case you don't know this, which I thought was so interesting. Is that he was an uncredited bassist on most of the Motown record
hits. Motown stuff, yeah.
1960 through 1970, which I thought was pretty interesting because Motown did not list session musicians until 1971. So I just wanted to say that, give him the credit, for those who did not know, because I'm sure a lot of people do know. And he was inducted to the Hall of Fame in 2000. So I thought that was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a couple of folks on the line, and I want to bring them on the line. So would you like to say hello to a few people, Ethan?
Sure, why not?
All right, and then we'll have to get to your albums. We'll get to that. You're and so much more we want to talk about. But I'm just having a great time. Are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, I love it. Love every bit of it.
Good. Okay. Well, I have the last four digits 2552, and I'm going to bring you on the line. And this is Richard Rucker, who happens to be a fellow bass player. So let me bring him on.
Okay.
Hello, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful this evening, Tanya Maria. E-Bassman, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just enjoying
nice to meet
to
you.
Music.
Nice to meet you over the phone. Oh, thank
it's
you.
It's good to meet
thank
you, too. I have a musical background also. Played semi-pro years ago, gave it up. But I do have a history of playing in the church also, and I have a little antidote. Well, I guess it was after services one day, the pastor came up to us and said that he didn't want to hear you musicians jamming up here during services. And, of course, you know, my reaction as a musician was, if we're not jamming, something's wrong. So as a musician who is well-versed in bass, drums, keyboard, and guitar, can you talk
mm-hmm.
about the delicate dance between the various instruments, what you listen for when you're playing a certain instrument, and how they relate to each other?
Well, I think as great musicians, and that will make a great musician, because you listen to each other, no matter if it's a guy, a girl, or a kid, a baby, you know, they all speak the same thing. You can all understand in some kind of way if it's by the texture of their voice or if it's going up and down, you know, if they hurt or if they sad. You can tell by listening to somebody. You can just tell if a person's sad, you can hear it in their voice. If they're happy, you can hear it in their voice. You know, if they sound trouble, you hear it, but you really have to just pay attention. And what makes a great musician that is no matter if you're playing keyboard or if you're playing drums or you're playing bass, whatever you're playing, you have to listen to each other. That's how you communicate. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking to them. You might as well not even say anything in the conversation, just be off doing your own thing, because I could be on this phone with you and not hear nothing you're saying, just be rambling on about something else. Like, oh, yeah, you see the store down the street? It's a pretty cool store. They sell nice clothes down there, you know, but I'm into the conversation and I'm paying attention to what you say. And it's the same thing with music. So if a guitar player playing a lick and you're a bass player, in order for it all to gel and make an arrangement or play part of the arrangement, you have to hear what he's doing so you can know how to compliment him or how everybody compliments each other. You know, and that's the same thing with bass. As a bassist, you know, you have to lock in with the drums. You got to hear what the drummer is doing. So you can like that bass in with the kick. I don't know if he's playing accents here or there. You have to listen in order to know where to compliment him at. Everybody's complimenting each other. It's all a team. It's the same thing as with basketball or any of the sports. Everybody got to know each other part to know where to look for them at on the court, to know how to find them if they're in trouble, where their positions are. And same thing with music. If you listen to each other, and then I use that when I play guitar, usually when I play keyboard, I'm still listening as if I was playing one instrument. It's like I'm still playing one instrument because my role is listening and compliment everybody else still stays the same.
Amen, amen. And to follow that up, I've heard that you're also a producer.
Yeah.
So the role of the producer is similar, but can you talk about specifically the role of a producer and how you would orchestrate the different instruments into grouping them into one unique sound?
What if, you know, with producing, it goes with who you're working with. It goes with what the artist wants. It goes with, you know, if you're trying to change the sound with them. Or if they're doing the same thing that they want to do, they want to come on the line with, you know, what they want it to go with. As a producer, you got to be very, very versatile if you want to work in all genres nowadays. You know, because everything is merging. You know how small the music business is now. And, you know, even with the radio station, everything is almost sounding the same or something similar. Everything is so weird with the music industry now. But as a producer, you have to just be open to everything because you never know what situation you're going to walk into. The record label could tell you one thing, oh, we want this kind of song. And you get in the studio with the artist, and the artist be like, oh, yeah, but I want to try this and this. You just got to know how to switch up and then find a medium between what the record label wants and what the artist wants to just make everybody happy and try and come up with the best idea that you can, that they just can't resist it. You know, so it's, as a producer, you just have to be very well-rounded, you know, very well-rounded if you want to do everything. Or you could just be a hip-hop producer and just take that approach. And if I was just doing hip-hop, then I just straight do hip-hop, which I know what hip-hop is. I know what pop is. I know what R&B is. I get all that because I'm played with everybody through my experience. So I get what the text of that music is. But as coming in as a producer, it all depends on what they want to create at that time.
Amen, bro. Amen.
Thank
now,
you.
Can I ask one more follow-up, Tony Maria?
Of course. Go ahead.
You just kind of ran right into this. This is a natural follow-up, bro. When you're dealing with record labels or record companies, and you have an artist that wants to produce one thing, and a record label that wants to market something else.
Right.
As a producer, how do you walk that tightrope?
Like I said, you got to find that just thin line. You got to find the best of both worlds. And that's what a producer is. You got to be that guy that can convince both sides of the table. That's what our job is. We there to convince both sides of the table and make it what he just can't deny. But that's what makes a producer or a good producer or a great producer what it is. That's what, whatever you do, you got to be that person that people just can't deny it. Whether it's sports, whether it's a business manager, radio personnel, you got to be the best where people want to hear what you have to say. And if you're that good producer and you coming out with the right stuff, they're going to hear what you got to say and they're going to listen and they're going to say, okay, I accept that. So as a good producer, you got to come in and be able to play both parts of the world and make that fine line and make everybody happy. That's our job.
Well, thank you very much, brother. I wish you the best. I'm enjoying
what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Even though the internet went down, we were still entertained. So, Tanya Maria, it's always a blessing to hear your voice.
Well, thank you.
And I love your show. You're doing a wonderful job. And I wish both of you much, much success.
Thank you, and likewise.
Thank you for the time.
Thank you so much for calling in.
God bless you both.
Bless you.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Ethan, let's talk about. Now, I'm curious, and excuse me for not knowing this, but I want to ask you. Can you tell me some of the things you produced? Some of the records and.
Mm-hmm. I worked on one of the Whitney records like 3 records ago. I produced on Dapper Cox record. I produced my record. I produced my gospel quartet group record, The Gospel Wonders. And I'm still in production now, working with a lot of artists now. I'm just trying to get the stuff that people are familiar with that's on the radio that I'm constantly in the studio working with different artists and doing songs and still doing it.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, your first release was Wine and Strings, but it was just 7 songs. Now, your second release, a re-release, is a full length that's coming out February 13th. Is that correct?
Yes, somewhere near that timeline. We haven't put a specific time on it, but I know it's somewhere near there.
Okay, we are looking forward to getting our hands on it. And for those of you who want to get in touch with Ethan, you can go to his website, www.ethan-farmer.com. He's also on Facebook, and that would be /ebaseman farmer, facebook.com/e, baseman farmer. And on YouTube, that would be youtube.com/ebaseman and the number one. Now, let's talk briefly about, I'm just curious, the core and the ENG band. How much time do you actually get to spend with them?
Well, actually, now, not that much.
Right.
As far as the unit, as the actual band. But I play with each member of the band a lot. That's a very good question. It's funny that you play that because now sneaking, I actually play with each member a lot from different bands. We either doing sessions for somebody else, or like some of the members from the core played with me and my the E-Bassman band last night as I performed at the Troubadour, and at the NAMMS convention. And
right.
Then one of the drummers, the G from ENG, I actually was in the studio with him 2 days ago, going back in the studio with him tonight, recording stuff with CeeLo. So even though we don't play in exact that band, I'm still working with him on other projects.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have another caller. Last digits are 6541, and you are on the air. And who is this?
This is your big brother from Chi-Town.
Oh, my goodness. Hassan Khan.
And you know it. What's up, Brother E?
What's up, baby? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm holding it down. I'm trying to keep from slipping and falling on this icy terrain that we got going now.
Hey, man. Well,
you ain't
got
to worry about that where you are, huh?
Hey, no, but, you know, these people can't drive out here, so it's all good. We all
it's all the same, huh?
Yeah, we all in a situation.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, my brother, I want to say this much. We all proud of you back home. We get a chance
Thank
to say
you.
Something and brag about you. And you have definitely transcended your roots. For me being one of the funk masters of the universe, I say that you have entered the realm of the funk masters of the universe.
Have I been accepted into the funk universe?
You have been accepted into the funk masters of the universe, and if anybody got anything to say, tell them come see me. And my funky name is Stanky Sonic Boom. Tell them come see the funk masters, Stanky Sonic Boom, that you have been inducted into the funk masters of the universe. The
there
universal funk masters.
There it is, everyone.
You understand? Now,
yes,
if y'all, I hope that you heard me.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan.
Mm-hmm. Ethan knows where I'm coming from.
Yes, sir. Yes,
mm-hmm.
sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Hassan Khan. What can I say about this brother? I've had a show with him, which is so fascinating, but just for those of you who don't know him, he was the band leader for, Phil Guy for over 20-some years, and also he is the reason for Chaka Khan. He got her career started, and very influential and a fabulous bass player and a dear brother of mine. And I'm so thankful that you took the time to call in and bless us with your hello.
Nothing but love. Nothing but love.
Yeah,
all about the love.
So, Ethan, how do you know Hassan? Obviously, a fellow bass player, but have you met in person? Right? What's your background?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do we meet, Son, again?
I couldn't tell you, Ethan. So that's why I'm probably knew your dad or something. I know we bump into each other at the music stores and at different
yeah.
little scenes and that kind of thing
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anywhere that they playing good music, Ethan and I
mm-hmm.
might we might wind up on the set.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But only if they playing good music.
That's right. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they're jiving or something like that, you won't see neither one of us.
Right.
Were you saying
you never realize. Yeah, you never realize. Wait, it's like because you hear of each other for so long when you meet, it's like you already knew each other. So it's like it's
right.
hard to even say where you met at because it's
right.
like you already felt like you knew each other already.
Mm-hmm. I know the feeling, my dear.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, wow, where did we actually meet? Because I felt like I'd known him forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like
thank
I said,
husband.
We are all proud of you back here, and we get a
mm-hmm.
chance to brag on you. Maybe
I appreciate that.
What would be now that I got you on the line and we're doing and this is like an interview vibe. Maybe you can shine some light on these brothers, the local brothers around here, about what does it take to step away from being local and doing your own project, and that is more than, I mean, because like usually everybody wants to do that, but they
right,
don't know
right.
how to get out of the syndrome of just playing gig.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they
mm-hmm.
also, it's more to it than just playing a gig, that there's an
yep.
industry and there's so many different hats to wear, and you only, as one person, could only wear so many hats.
Right.
So how do you take it step by step and try to step some of these cats through that, if you have any light to shine on that? Maybe you can say how it happened for you, where you got other people that were in the industry to take interest.
First thing is, you got to know yourself on your instrument.
Right.
You got to have something to say that's important.
Okay.
You know, so people want to listen. Like how we're
right.
talking now, you got to, that's what you have in
gotta
your heart.
Got to have something to say.
What you say, you got to, mm-hmm. yes. That's the thing everybody pays attention to. If you're just talking a whole bunch of nonsense or speaking something that ain't nobody trying to listen to, then you're never going to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking for directions, but you ain't asking for directions in the right way, you're talking about some whole other stuff, you're never going to get the directions.
Right.
You know, so you got to know who you are on your instrument. So when you do play that instrument or you do come out with that record, it could be some people be like, oh, my God, I understand what he's saying or I feel what he's saying.
Right.
But it's only got to be, it got to be who you are, because if you come out saying the same thing a Marcus Miller or Sammy Clark saying, then you go get lost in the mix because it's like, oh, he's just sounding like Marcus Miller. I go listen to Marcus Miller say what
right.
the real person saying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that comes with time. Like, that's why it took so long for me to come out with my record, because within these last couple of years, I just really felt comfortable, and I know who I am now on my
mm-hmm.
instrument. That when I do say something, people will say, oh, that's Ethan talking. You ain't got to even see my face. You could hear a bass line, or you could hear the tone of the bass. And you'd be like, oh, I know that's Ethan playing on that record.
Well,
with no doubt
I kind of can relate to what you – I'm relating to what you're saying, but I was really referring to more so of just like an example. Like you said that you hit the troubadour.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to – do the work yourself to book it yourself, or did you have a manager or an agent that contacted that?
I got a team. But even with getting a team, you got to have a team that believes in you, because you could have a team.
A team? Okay, that's
fine.
You know what I thought you said at first, Ethan?
What?
You got a team. You said a team. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, team, yeah.
A team, okay.
I got a team, yeah.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about talking to the brothers about,
right.
that they need to put together the team. What do they need in the team? What positions do they need to fulfill in the team?
But in order for you to have a good team, because anybody can have a team, that don't mean the team is good.
Right.
To have a good team, you got to have your own personality. Because
right.
if you say something to your team, you want your team to listen and believe in what you say.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have that personality on the instrument, your team ain't going to be trying to book you nowhere if you sound like crap and ain't saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a waste of time for them.
Right.
Why waste their time? They know ain't nobody going to hire you at these clubs because you ain't saying nothing.
Right.
But you going around and say, I got a team, and they like, yeah, we ain't working and we working on somebody else. And you think you got a team.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we out here in L.A., and you know how the industry is. People say, yep, yeah, to everything, but they don't do half the stuff they say they go to. But if they believe in what you're saying, and they like, yo, we could carry this conversation on, and this conversation can grow, then they're going to work for it. Because they know, yo, we could spread this conversation, and we all going to make money at the end of the day. That's, mm-hmm, that's what it comes to.
Now, let me interject quickly here, Hassan. You know, Miles High Productions, which is the managing company that handles Ethan's career as far as promoting and all of that, they're part of the network, the ColorPeople.net network. And one of the visions, or the vision or the mission of our network, is to bridge the gap between the promoter and the artist, you know, to bring them together. So
that's good.
Exactly. So that's the vision of the network. So you, Mr. Khan, you need to get back on the network a little bit more, because I'm getting
okay
on your case now.
Right.
I know you're busy, but, you know, and I know you're doing your thing, but, you know, you have so much to contribute to what we're doing. And you yourself can be a mentor to so many of the people that we talk to through the network or through our shows. And, you know, so we actually have everything that we need. We just need to take our time and to gather our resources. And speaking of take your time, there is a tune I want to play called Take Your Time.
There you go.
Right on. That's a good segue. Go ahead, girlfriend.
So, I Hassan, hang in there with us for a little sec, unless
okay
you have to go.
No, I'm good. I'm hanging with you for a minute.
Okay, so I'm going to play Take Your Time, and we're going to take our time, and we'll be right back.
All right.
That was Take Your Time. Ethan, you with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us some of the players in your new release, some of the folks that collaborated with you.
My cousin Damo Farmer did some work on a new one. And little Nick Smith played on it. And everything else I did.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
me and my cousin Damo Farmer, we produced and wrote most of y'all's songs together.
Okay. I have two questions, but before I go, let me go quickly back to Hassan in case he needs to go, and then we'll continue. Hassan, I want to thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate your time. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you want to say?
Only thing I have to say to E-Man is take care of your health and get your rest.
Thank you. You're doing what you was put here to do.
And I want to say God bless you.
God bless you too, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
All right.
Thank you, Hassan.
I'll see you when I see you. But
yes,
when
sir.
I see you, I'll be happy to see you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you, my
have
brother.
Have a good one, baby.
Okay, same to you.
All right. All right.
Okay, peace, little sister.
Peace. Bye.
Peace.
Love you. Bye.
Love you back. Peace out.
Bye. All right. Hassan Khan, thank you so much for calling in.
Yes.
I have a couple of questions for you. One, I want to know if you have a favorite bass that you own and what kind. Two, your inspirational record, when is it coming out? And three, I said two, but I actually have three, your tour, when is it going to be? When can we expect a tour from you, mister? So you can take any of these three questions any way you want.
My favorite basses that I play, there's a couple of them that I play. My performance bass, my warrior bass, and a bolster bass that I play. Those are my three favorite basses. My inspirational record, we're working on the inspirational record now. We're in a process to record. We just finished writing most of it, so now we got to just record. And we're working on a tour. The team is getting the tour together now. So it's coming near city near you soon.
Okay. All right. Well, be sure to keep us posted. I'm sure I'm sure Miles High Productions, Casey and Chip, you know, they'll let us know what's going on. I happen to be born and raised in Brazil. I speak Portuguese. So, do you like Brazilian music?
Wow, yeah. I love Brazil, just period.
When were you in Brazil and what type of Brazilian music?
We was in São Paulo over the summer. We went to São Paulo and we was there for like 4 or 5 days.
Mhm. Okay.
You know, so we went on out to the club and just had a good time and just I love experience the club and that different music that they listen to, deep down the musician that produce. I just love listening to everything. So it was great. Yeah, one of the best times of the tour.
Well, you have to go to Rio because, you know, São Paulo.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Rio. And that's why I say I love Brazil. But I was just recently, you know, over there. So, São Paulo. But Rio, oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
I just love Brazil.
Have you been to Bahia, the Northeast?
No, I haven't been there.
Yeah, you have to go. It's a total time capsule. It stopped in time. A few more minutes before the show is over. It's been such a wonderful time talking to you. Such a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you. And I had such a wonderful time. And thank you to the people that called in. And, you know, everybody keep pushing forth and doing what you want to do. And believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, nobody else is going to have that faith in you. So press on. Keep the faith in yourself. Wine and strength. Get that music if you need to be inspired. That music is going to inspire you no matter what you want to do. Just put it on.
That's right. That's right. And your music, the first Wine and Strings is out already. The seven song version. And we are eagerly awaiting for the full experience with your new release in sometime in February. We're not going to hold you down to that because we don't want to rush your creative process.
Right, there you go.
But we are eagerly awaiting. Do you have any final closing thoughts before we say goodnight?
No, those were my closing thoughts I just gave.
All right.
I'll give it again. You guys stay positive, keep positive energy in the air, have faith in yourself, have faith in that the higher power is going to give you everything that you need, whatever you believe in. Everybody should believe in something. You need somebody to keep you comfort. I believe in God, and that's why I comfort him. And everything would be okay. Wine and strength. Get that out.
Amen. That's right. All right, so we're going to leave you all with Ethan Farmer, the E-Bassman. That's right. Don't forget to check him out at ethan-farmer.com on Facebook, facebook.com/ebassmanfarmer, and youtube.com ebassman and the number one. Thank you again for your time. Thank you for
Thank you so much.
And let's stay connected, okay?
Stay blessed. Yes.
All right. God bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time listening. We are on iTunes, and you can download our shows. And until next time, stay tuned. We have a blog. You can go to coloredpeople.net, and you can subscribe to our blog so you know what's going on. And we will leave you with E-Bassman Farmer. Thank you so much, and good night.
We are going for liftoff in T-minus 30. Please listen carefully.
I said things to your face all over the place.
Please listen carefully.
I said things to your face all over the place.
Where's the bass?
Please listen carefully. Things to your face all over the place.